Before we go any further, I've asked Josh to lead us in a word of prayer.
Father in heaven, we're thankful to be here this morning, gathered together as one to study your word and to take it into our hearts and take it home with us and to work with us and out on the street with us in this world and to spread your word to those around us so that they might hear the good news that you bring, Father. Father, we thank you for the body here and the fellowship that we have. Continue to guide the elders and the deacons to shepherd us and to keep us together as one. Thank you for John and the effort that he puts forth in the study and of this lesson and bringing it to us. And we just thank you for his efforts and his knowledge and understanding of your word. And we pray that we complement that with listening and our understanding. Father, there's many among us, friends, relatives, children, that are hurting, that are the sick and afflicted, and we pray that you will guide them back to good health, that you will be with the those that are ministering to them, help them to understand and to bring them back to good health. Father, we're truly blessed, and we thank you for all that we have. We thank you for this country, its founding fathers. We thank you for the servicemen and women that are protecting us all over this world and standing up for our rights, for our freedoms. We thank you for that, Father. Just pray that you will continue to protect us as a country. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. I don't know what you think about joy. I don't know how you feel about it, but if you ask people, a lot of people will tell you that their number one objective in life is to be happy. And in fact, they believe it so strongly that if they're not happy, they fake it. I mean, out of just habit, to even today, people ask me, how are you doing? And I said, fine, thank you. Well, I'm not really fine. You know, not every day is a perfect 10. Not every day do things go the way you want them to. Sometimes the circumstances in our life are difficult and challenging. But God uses those circumstances to help us grow. It's easy to be happy when everything is going right. Everything's going perfect. It's real easy to be happy. But as I said, the circumstances in our life sometimes get in the way, and they're not always good. Sometimes they challenge us. Sometimes you have to do very difficult things in your life. And happiness, joy in particular, is not one of the things you think about. I recall earlier in this series, Glenn mentioned, you know, it's really tough sometimes to be full of joy, to be happy when things are going bad. How do we remain optimistic when everything's falling apart? Well, simply put, that's where joy comes in. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is joy. It's one of those virtues we need to have in our life. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. We sing a song about that. Joy is different than happiness. And if you don't get anything today, I hope you get this one point. Joy is different than happiness. Okay? The word happiness is rooted in the word or in the phrase hap, which literally refers to circumstances or chances. Okay? Happiness doesn't depend on that. Joy doesn't depend on that. It's deeper. Joy is an attitude. It's a choice we have to make. Joy is not dependent on those circumstances in your life. And so regardless of what's going on, the right attitude is joy. Choose to be joyful. When we learn to choose joy, we enhance our lives. As Christians, we should be the most positive people in the world. We don't want to be wandering around this earth looking like we've been baptized in vinegar. Okay? We need to be full of joy, and there are reasons for that. Why do you think we should be the most positive people in the world? We're going to heaven. That's right. That was just natural, Gerald. You spit that out real quick. You must have seen my lesson. What else? Somebody else said something? Oh, it's forever? It's eternal. Forever? Why else? The peace of God. And we're going to talk about peace next week. Okay? Yes, ma'am. If we're not joyful, we couldn't encourage others to share that with us. And you're touching on something that's real important there. Yeah? Somebody had their hand up back here. Yes, ma'am. We know what the ending's going to be like, the promise of heaven. Good input. Now, as usual, I've got a few things that I thought of too, but you've named some of them already. And that brings us to our first text. So if you'd open up Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. I need for you to have that in front of you because we're going to talk to it a lot. And this slide's going to go away. And you need to, you know, I'm going to constantly be referring back to this text. I'm glad, Ken, you didn't preach on from Romans 5 this morning. Well, you started in on your lead, and I go, oh, my goodness, I need to pay attention. How am I going to work this? But you didn't go there quite. Anyway, who's got that? Could you please read?
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us.
Thank you. I've underlined a couple of things in there. If you look at verse 2, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's the promise of going to heaven. Okay? And then right there in verse 3, we also rejoice in our sufferings. And we're going to talk a lot about both these passages. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Once again, there are several reasons I want you to be conscious of why we should be positive people. And the first one is we have hope. We have hope in Christ. We have hope in the promises of God that He will deliver this home in heaven. We have hope. No situation, no circumstance is hopeless. You believe that? Christians have hope. That's the number one reason. Don't base your hope on the wrong thing, okay? Sometimes it's real easy to get caught up in this world and start basing your hope on how you look, how much money you make, the job you have, the friends you have, your status in society. We can get caught up in those things very easy. Don't base your hope on the wrong thing. Our hope is based on the promises of God and Christ's sacrifice. These things that I was just talking about, the appearance, the money, that's temporary. They're going to pass away. Don't base your hope on the wrong thing. Joy is impossible without hope. Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope. Janice and I went by to visit Bob Atkinson this week. And I don't know if you know Bob. He's always smiling. And when he talks to you, he's always smiling. And we hadn't been there very long, and Bob's telling us what his plans are for life. And they're not, it's not too much. I mean, and he boldly just said, I'm ready, John. I'm ready to go. What hope? You know, if you're not building a relationship with folks like that, you're living way below your privilege. You need to find people and have a relationship with folks like that. A lot of times they're older, too. They're more mature. They've been journeying longer than you and I. They're not so caught up in all the conflicts of this life. Bob is ready to go. It just fits so well with my lesson. I couldn't have asked for a better example. It was just like somebody took me, you know, hit me with a 2x4. We have hope. The second is that God has a purpose for us. Okay? Let's go back to Romans 5. You got to look at that. Verse 3, we also rejoice in our sufferings. Now, the word here that's translated as sufferings is our physical or physiological distress. Anything that puts us under pressure. And if you've sat through the first lesson this morning, the first worship, it wasn't a lesson, it was Scott's discussion about the Lord's Supper. It was so good because he talked about Jesus under pressure, sweating droplets of blood. Trials and troubles and problems in our lives cause pressure. We all go through it. It may be professional, it may be at home, it may be with the family, it may be here at church, but inevitably we're going to go through pressure. Joy is learning to enjoy life in spite of our problems. Joy isn't the absence of suffering. It's the presence of God. It's knowing that God is with you. I got to catch up here, which brings me to the next question. Well, maybe not just yet. Notice that this text says in our sufferings, not because of our sufferings. In other words, we don't rejoice because of our sufferings. It's not about what we're experiencing in our life at that point in time. Okay? We rejoice in our sufferings because of the hope we have, because of the confidence we know that God has a purpose in our life. God allows the circumstances in our lives, and our perspective, how we view those circumstances, is going to determine what our attitude is. We rejoice even in tough times because we have hope. First question, or second question. What does suffering produce? It's right there in the text. What does suffering produce? Perseverance. And notice the word it produces. I can't spell perseverance, so y'all don't hold me to that. Perseverance. You know that's perseverance, right? Everybody can read that? That's a trick. You know, you just scribble it and everybody's going to have to trust that's what it said. But suffering produces perseverance. What does perseverance produce? Character. What's character? What's character? I hear some faint. It's hope? Well, character is something about us. Okay? Yeah. But if I have character, I know Mark has character. What do I mean when I say Mark has character? Integrity. He's reliable. Yes. He lives by principle. You listened to the first sermon, didn't you? Or maybe that was a couple of weeks ago. I don't know. He lives by principle. So it's knowing that that individual is reliable, that I can depend on him to be of integrity, dependability, many good virtues. And what else does it produce? Perseverance, character. Character produces what? Hope. And hope does not disappoint. You ever think about the fact that if I'm disappointed, if I'm really disappointed about something, I've lost hope. Let me say that again. If I'm disappointed about something, then I've lost hope. Christians aren't like that. We have hope. Remember that. We have hope. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance is the ability to handle pressure. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. The problems that we have in our life are literally by design. Those trials that we go through are by design to cause us to have hope. You ever think about that? Certainly not when you're in the middle of them. Brings me to the next passage. James 1, 2 through 4. Who's got that? Please read.
Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Okay, thank you. Notice that this is so similar to what the writer says, to what the Spirit says in Romans. It's very similar. Know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Not only that, but perseverance has got to finish its work. So this is speaking to a lot more than just the trials. Perseverance, character, and hope are produced only when we choose the right attitude. You know, we keep coming back to how we think, how we view things in our lives. You got to choose the right attitude. And the right attitude is joy. Verse 2, when you experience trials, the correct attitude is joy. When we learn to rejoice in the problem, not for it, but in it, God uses those circumstances for good. He'll help us grow. A lot of us are in the midst of all kinds of turmoil all the time. Understand that your attitude needs to be joy. Not because of what the circumstance is, but because we have hope. And God has a purpose in our life. He wants us to grow. He's given us everything we need to grow. Because you know tells us that our response to the trial is a matter of perspective, how you think about it. Verse 4, so that you may be mature, tells us this is all a process of spiritual growth. It's about us growing up in Christ, taking off that sinful nature. Paul describes that in Colossians, and we've referred to it many times, but I want you to think about that because it's not like one garment that I just pull off and I'm done with that sinful nature. Dan Gray and I were talking last week after class, and we were talking about this, that one of the things that makes producing fruit so difficult is this sinful nature. It's not like we get rid of it all at once. It's a journey. It takes time. It takes effort. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, you're just grasping at it. And maybe it's tearing, but it's not all the way off. And then he goes through a discourse and he talks about putting on these virtues, these fruits of the Spirit. We're to put them on like clothing. They're a choice. Okay? We're in control of them. You gotta constantly be putting off the sinful nature and be putting on God's nature. Brings us to Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 2. Please read.
But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flame will not set you ablaze.
Thanks. Verse 1, you are mine. We belong to God. In Christ, we belong to Him. Verse 2, I will be with you. God is with us. That's the third reason we should be positive people. We have hope. God has purpose in our lives. And lastly, we belong to Him. He is with us. He has redeemed us, He's called us, and we are His. Verse 2, God is with us. And what He's saying in this passage is that you won't be overwhelmed. No matter what these circumstances are, you won't be overwhelmed. You've got to learn that God is with you. Remember, Jesus is called Emmanuel. God reconciled us to him through Christ, Romans 5:11. Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have been, through whom we have received reconciliation. We are his friends. Last week we talked about John 15, verse 12, I believe. But Jesus says, you are my friends. And his friendship lasts forever. It's more than some other kind of relationship. It is a friendship. So, why does joy seem so elusive? And maybe it isn't to you. I don't know. But to me, I think it is. Why do you think it might be elusive?
I think it's because we're so focused
on the present. It's real easy to get caught up in where we're at any point in time and lose focus on the cross. Yeah.
To me, it's my opinion, the bedrock of this whole thing, why do we not have joy? You've got to want to do this. If you don't have the desire to do this, nothing you're putting on that sheet matters. In our heart, we have got to want to do this. Day in, day out, at home, at work.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
That's an excellent point.
I mean, if you really want to do something, it's like at work, your boss asks you, do you want to do this? Or your coach said, do you want to do this? Well, do you want to? And we've all witnessed the people that really want to do something, they won the championship.
Yeah.
I think it's our.
Yes, ma'am. Things of the world. All right, I'm out of space. Things of the world, she said. Yeah, we've got this sinful nature, right? Let's go back to Romans 5 real quick. Something I forgot to mention, and it's important. Verse 2, 5 and 2. Through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. We stand, if you're in Christ, you're in his grace. That's your status. All the time. Now, certainly you can do things to fall out of that, but you need to have a confidence that if you love the Lord and you're trying to do his will, you're in his grace. It's not like he spread that grace over you one time. Okay? You're covered up full time. For every day. Yeah, Glenn. Yeah, that's a good point. The rat race of life. I got a lot of hands here. Yes, sir. Chris.
You have to choose joy.
Yeah, that's what we've said. It's a choice.
Day.
But we got this sinful nature. We haven't quite clawed off. And it can pull us down at any point in time. And we need to respect that. Professionally. It seems like my life has been about solving problems. And in some jobs, it's just one problem after the other, isn't it, Gerald? Just one right after the other. And in fact, there's no bright spots. It's all about problems. In fact, we used to call those opportunities. And I got wise here a few years ago, and I decided that if the pain meter is more than 50%, that's not an opportunity. That's a problem. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. God is with us. Absolutely. We need to learn to say, God, you're in control here. You take care of this problem. And I've got a lot of stories I can tell you about all that stuff. Good points. But and you've touched on everything that I wanted to cover, really. The very things that produce joy are contrary to our culture. Our culture tells us to live for yourself, to forget about others, have it your way. And you could go on and on with that list, couldn't you? And you have to deal with those issues that are real to people, but they don't understand where your attitude is, that you're in Christ. And sometimes it's difficult. I mean, they're so far apart from you in their attitude about themselves, they've become so selfish, you can't relate to them. It gets difficult. The Lord has told us that joy comes from being grateful, giving of our time and possessions, and knowledge of Christ. And we could add to that list even more. So, I'm going to try and wrap here. We got a few more slides, though, to go through. Joy, or any of the fruits of the Spirit, is kind of like a muscle. If we don't use it, it won't develop. If we don't use it, it'll atrophy. It'll wither, and it will no longer, I mean, we may not be able to recover it. So use joy. We need a spiritual workout. If you recall Philippians 2 and 12, we were challenged to work out our salvation, not work for it. We've already got that. Work out our salvation. We need a spiritual workout to help us grow and to help us with any of these fruits of the Spirit. So the first thing I suggest is an attitude of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We can go so many places, but this passage says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So no matter what the circumstance, no matter how bad it may seem, you need to remember that we have hope, okay? And that suffering produces hope indirectly, okay? Suffering produces perseverance, character, and character, hope. Understand that God has a purpose for our lives. Second, you can cultivate inner joy by just practicing giving. And if it's not making you joyful, then you probably ought to start giving more. Okay? Recognize more opportunities to give. Acts 20 and 35, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of our Lord Jesus himself, who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Thirdly, you can develop inner joy through service. I think you understand that. When you help folks, and you help them out, and you get the opportunity to serve them, it creates joy. Well, this is the right kind of joy, and it's for the right purpose. Ephesians 6, 7 through 8. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is a slave or a free man. And lastly, share Christ, Luke 15 and 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Share Christ. practicing these four steps will help develop joy or any of these other virtues that we're going to talk about or have talked about. And more importantly, it's a growth process. It's continually adding more. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials. Joy is not the same thing as happiness. And again, I want to stress, this is something I want you to contemplate on. I want you to catch this one part. It's different than happiness. You can choose, regardless of the circumstances, to be full of joy. We rejoice even in tough times because we have hope. Problems are there simply by design to increase hope. And hope does not disappoint us. When you experience trials, you need to have the right attitude. And the right attitude is joy. We can be joyful in any circumstance because God is with us. And as I look out over the audience, I know a lot of you guys. And I know where you are in your lives. And I know the kind of things that you're experiencing. I am confident that you've got some of these trials in your lives. Understand it's important that we select the right attitude. And that attitude is joy. And as always, I want you to look at a memory verse or a meditation verse. Okay? Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. It's a good time to point back to our base text for the study. And does that look like a vineyard to you? Doesn't, does it? But it is. It's in the dormant season. Okay? And all of the vines have been pruned back. And if you look very carefully, you can see that there are some branches, right? Some of these, you can clearly see the branches. So you have the vine. And you have the branches that have been pruned back. And any of the branches that didn't bear fruit, they have been cut off. But this is the dormant season. Okay? In fact, the picture looks very Mediterranean to me. It probably would be a photograph that would be relevant to Jesus' audience when he gave these words to us. Any closing comments or thoughts? Yeah, hope, Todd's first, then Nita.
I was going to say another thing that makes me, that tells me to think more about being joyful. Right now, we're going through the challenge of trying to sell a house and find another house. There's stress involved. But when I think about it, makes me come to more of a peace when I start thinking about other people in this world who just have some kind of shelter.
Give thanks in all circumstances. It's such a good point because, you know, if you've had the opportunity to travel abroad and go to some very impoverished countries, you see that. And you can't help but return to this country and recognize how richly we are blessed. Nita. Okay, well, good. Dan?
The dormant grapevines remind me that sometimes we have spiritually dormant times. And I've fought those a long time before I've learned to turn it over to God and continue my reading, but don't try to force your way out. Because in time, that
a neat thought. I hadn't really considered that, but our lives are kind of like roller coasters, aren't they? You know, I have a habit of telling folks, well, tomorrow's going to be a bad day because today was good. Just because I know that the cycle is daily, you know. I say that facetiously, but our lives are full of ups and downs, sometimes within a given day. And it requires the encouragement of our brethren. So don't forsake the fellowship. Please come. Any other? I think we're about done. Y'all, yes, ma'am. Yeah. I used to have a boss that I'd ask him that, and he'd say, "Fantastic," just that way. And I always think of that fella when I'm not feeling so good, and somebody asks me about that. Anyway, appreciate your comments. Y'all have a good week. Thank you.